Karen closed her eyes in eager anticipation, allowing the dark side of the Force to flow through her. Outside the sphere, she sensed her apprentices deep in meditation, opening themselves to her so she could draw on their strength as she took command of the sphere. The wires gently caressed her neck and cheeks with the fine-tipped needles on the end, sending a shiver down the falling spine. Then, one of the needles plunged itself into the cybernetic implant at the back of her neck, making her gasp aloud. Another slid into the implant behind her left ear, and two more burrowed into the left side of her skull on either side of her temple. Two connected to her forehead, and five more pierced the back of the skull. The final strand of wire slithered across the lid of her still-closed eye before slipping into the tiny aperture of the cybernetic interface implanted in her left cheek. She opened her eyes, her vision now an amalgamation of what she saw on the screens and monitors, as well as everything within range of the ship's sensors. The starfield flickered rapidly into view as the Ascendant Spear dropped from hyperspace on the edge of the Eukrali sector, just beyond sensor range of the Imperial and Republic fleets engaged in battle over the skies of Lerator. Though the other ships couldn't detect her presence at this range, the Spear's advanced systems gave Carrot a perfect awareness of what was transpiring. A combination of her Force abilities and the cybernetic implants relaying data from the Ascendant Spear's long-range scanners enabled Carrot to instantly see that although the battle had just begun, Darth Gravis already had the upper hand. The Republic had a single capital ship in the fray, the Martyrus, a D-class attack cruiser. Over 500 meters in length, the Martyrus had a wide, flat hull covered with a thick layer of armor plating, as if the vessel were hidden under a hump-shaped shell. It was supported by two hammerheads half its size, easily identifiable by the forward bridges, extending perpendicularly above and below the longer main body of the vessel, and three slightly smaller CR-12 corvettes, sleek narrow ships equipped with battering ram-shaped bows to run enemy blockades and prominent external afterburners to enhance speed and maneuverability. The fleet was rounded out by half a dozen BT-7 Thunderclap fighters, the latest Republic incarnation in personal attack craft. The agile Thunderclap resembled a sideways Y, with the cockpit situated in the crook of the two smaller arms. In contrast, Gravis's personal dreadnought, Exemplar, was almost 800 meters in length. The wedge-shaped capital ship was flanked by three claw-shaped C-class destroyers that were nearly as large as the Republic flagship. Each destroyer was supported by a complement of six interceptors, the Empire's agile, fang-winged answer to the Republic Thunderclap. Gravis had devised a plan that would minimize the risk to his own ship. The destroyers had been deployed to engage the corvettes and Thunderclap fighters, freeing up the quick and nimble interceptors to continuously strafe the hammerheads and the heavily armored Martyrus. This allowed the Exemplar to remain at safe distance, firing away with its batteries at the Republic vessels with no fear of any return assault. Unfortunately, unless Gravis moved closer to the action, he was limited to inflicting minimal damage on the enemy capital ship's deflector shields and reinforced hull. Ultimately, the Imperials would prevail, but it would be a battle of attrition. Carrot had neither the patience nor the temperament for such a strategy. With a flick of her little finger, she opened a hailing channel to the Exemplar, accelerating the Ascendant Spear toward the other vessels at the same time.
Darth Gravis, this is Darth Carrot. The Ascendant Spear is at your disposal.
Gravis's reply was swift and certain.
Disengage, Carrot. We didn't call for reinforcements. This is my battle to win, not yours.